This is the Lifetime Athlete Podcast, and you're here with your hosts, John Zombro and PK. PK, good morning.
Good morning, John, and happy holidays. It's Christmas Eve morning as we're recording this, and what a little gift to unwrap you, the sound of your voice this morning.
Back at you, man. So, you know, that we never lack for sassafras here on the rock and roll health and fitness edutainment show, The Lifetime Athlete. But you know what? I try to, when we start the show, I try to give some authentic information to everyone about what the heck it is we're up to. So, you know, here we are, two guys talking about health and fitness and training and peak performance. And really, we're trying to combine those basic components of lifelong health with these essential elements of peak performance, and ultimately help everyone to become and stay athletes for life. And if you're into that, you're at the right place. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being here.
So episode 96 coming up on the Big Hundy. And this is entitled, How to Set Up a Home Gym.
John, so you sent the notes over, and even before I perused them, I thought to myself, this is interesting. Certainly you and I have talked about this a lot. I know that you've done this for this helping your clients set up home gyms. But I thought to myself, and the question I want to ask you is this something that you've seen people either struggle with or mess up, or it's not as easy as it looks? Because it seems kind of easy. And then you start getting into the nuances and the, you know, maybe the hurdles or the challenges. Is it trickier? How did you come up with this topic?
Absolutely it is. And I take that from several decades of experience and working with a lot of people in some different capacities. So sometimes it was in a rehabilitation capacity. Hey, I need a few things for home to really do my home exercise program most effectively. How do I do that? Or it was, I want to get in shape. Got, you know, kind of some baseline fitness goals. What do you think I need in my house? And then of course the next level would be, you know, I've got goals. I've got big goals. I want to train, and I don't want to waste money or time, but I want to get the things to help me get the results I'm going after. So those were things that people were, you know, oftentimes presenting me with. And I tell you what, I learned a lot over time, because I was wrong and naive as a young person, because I actually believed it was easy. And, oh, just get a few of these things. Here's where you get them. I'm sure you'll do them. No. And most of the time, home fitness setups were complete failures, and people ended up selling their items, you know, yard sale, ultimately, eventually on Craigslist when that came around. And they were just using their exercise equipment to hang clothes on, hang a jacket on, and walk past it. And I learned, and through some experience and also some study, you know, and looking at sports psychology and other things, well, how do you make this stuff work? And so that's what I hope we can get into today.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad that that was my speculation, is that it seems like low hanging, easy thing to do, and it's more difficult. And so that was kind of, that's immediately where I jumped. Well, that's interesting. All right, we'll set the table for today then. So I think that, you know, if I was thinking about this, before you even decide if a home gym option is right for you, you got to think about the actual training at home. So is that something that, is that a good place to start the discussion?
Precisely. And oftentimes, if it's a new client, I'll do that via interview. And if it's, you know, someone who's in the circle in an existing fashion, whatever manner, I'll already know. But here's the gist of it. You have to find out if training at home is going to be right for you, because it takes a certain kind of motivation.
Yes, of course.
And what I mean by that is, you know, in different ways, everyone has some amount of intrinsic motivation to train and be fit, be healthy, and pursue goals. But training at home is one of those things where, you know, you've got to kind of have the mindset like, okay, I'm into doing it at home. I'm disciplined. I don't need a lot of extrinsic stimuli. And I'm real happy with, you know, how I'm using you know, the items that I have in my program. So that's the kind of motivation I'm talking about. And we try to ferret that out to find out if a person is, you know, is that person. And then the next thing I go into is, well, what we really want to do, and I alluded to this in that prelude, was we want to avoid purchasing things that just don't get used and that do wind up on Craigslist or in garage sales. And that's really, I think, a strong statistic that if we do a few things up front intelligently, we can avoid.
Yes, yes. And those two things really work together, because if you don't have a certain kind of motivation, it's not good or bad if you have it or don't have it, then it's kind of like anything else in the progression of the journey of setting up a home gym really isn't going to be fruitful. So you kind of, you give a hard look at yourself in the mirror, you say, okay, or, you know, through conversations with you, Jay-Z, you say, all right, I think I do have what it takes to work out at home. Then you say, all right, how do we get this set up so we don't invest a lot of money in things that ultimately won't, be in use continually. Okay. So we got those two things off the checklist. What else are you thinking about if someone is considering training at home or not?
Well, as we're going through those considerations, and again, you hit it, okay, you're psyched for home and we're going to put some value into that. So you get what you need and you get the most out of it. But if I'm feeling this vibe where a person really loves the gym, loves going to the gym, loves the social opportunities, the very extensive equipment and or class options, and the gym is also super convenient to their home or work, I think, well, maybe we don't reinvent the wheel here. Maybe they stick with the gym. They can always take their programming into, the commercial gym. But there are some people that, either they lack that motivation for home or they really love the gym. I don't try to talk them out of it. I say, let's go with what's going to work for you.
Yeah, and you made a good point. Like, maybe it's more than the simple training or equipment, that social side of things. That could be not even just the social, say in a class or in someone you're training with, but just like the interaction that you get walking in, or maybe with people in the little community that you have there. Interesting. So a lot of this is just, let's call it as we see it. Let's really, before we even get into training at home, let's sniff things out for what actually works for you.
Yeah. And so, we are always talking about that phrase we use. I don't think it's trite, but science meets common sense. We're going to get into the science here in a minute, but right now we're talking about the common sense part of it. And on the other hand, there's a big pro for setting up a home training station, if whatever you want to call it, because if you want to be more efficient, you're going to save time. You have no commutes, no waits, no crowds. And most of the time save money. That depends on how much you invest and how long you amortize it, of course. But with the home gym, you have a lot of variability, and it's the real ticket to efficiency for those whom that's critically important.
Heavy gains, high upside. All right. Well, let's walk through it. So let's just say I'm one of your clients. We're having this conversation. We've talked about the motivation and we sort of sussed out that it could be a really viable option for me. Where do you take me from here?
Well, since we're all about creating the wins, I go with option one, the person who has absolutely no dedicated space for a workout area and an extremely limited budget.
I love it. I think that's if not the starting point for everyone, certainly something that we can all identify with. Let's say you just got a room, or you have a room in your house and you don't want to drop a lot of coin, but you want to see if you can get some gains at home. All right. Walk me through the thinking.
So we kind of look at that, we say, okay, look, you live in a, like you mentioned, a room or a small apartment or any situation where, your exercise station really can't be there all the time. And maybe you can't make a large investment. No problem, really. I mean, that it's easily done. And of course, you always tell me about making up these words, but this is the place for the Fit Kit. And that's spelled FITKITT ! Fit Kit.
Yeah. Yeah. Copyright, trademark, coming soon, patent pending, the Fit Kit. Carry on. What is that, John?
Yeah. So it's a compact set of tools that match your training needs, and you put it in a box or a crate or a 5-gallon bucket, and you store it somewhere under the closet, in the bed, or let me try that one more time, under the bed, in the closet, or elsewhere. That's the whole idea, is that it's a ready-to-go container of the items that you're going to use. It's easy to access. It's not buried. There's no digging. You just grab it and go, and within seconds, you're into your program.
Got it. Well, that makes perfect sense. You just – it reminds me of, a toolkit or, like a electrician or a carpenter's bag, where it's just all in there. You grab it, you go, and then you get to work.
Yeah, that's what we do with our outdoor fitness groups in the summer. You know, so they have their fit kit, which, you know, has some items in it similar to the ones we're going to discuss. And of course, outdoor in the summer, we all say, okay, you got to have a water bottle in your kit as well. And they have that sandbag. So they drive up they get out and throw the sandbag over their back, grab their bucket full of stuff. And, you know, we're hitting it.
I love it. So what's in the fit kit?
Well, obviously it can vary, but what I usually recommend for a nice fit kit for someone who wants to train at home in this capacity is either a set of kind of medium weight per your standards dumbbells, or one kettlebell, you know, again, kind of a medium thing so we can span a lot of movements, a section of exercise tubing with handles, you know, the stretch cord type of thing, mm-hmm. a piece of rope or strap that does not stretch. There's different applications for those things. And a mat. And the mat, you know, it could be a exercise mat, a thicker one. It could be vinyl coated. It could be a yoga mat. Doesn't matter. But this whole setup, well under $50. And even less, quite a bit less than that if you find some used deals, especially on the weight.
Mm. Okay, I like that. All right. So, you say a medium. What does medium weight for a set of dumbbells feel like? Is that something that you can curl easily, or you could do a curl 10 or 15 times? Like, how would one determine what was medium weight for all of us, since we're different?
That is a great question. And I didn't put any information in our little notes about this because, you know, we don't really script these things out, but yeah, you could use an exercise like a curl, for example, and you say, okay, well, what's your 10 RM weight? What's the maximum amount of weight you can do for 10 repetitions? And then, you know, you might select a weight that's, say, 75% of that. So if you, for example, just to make it clear, if you can do 10 reps with 30-pound weights, we'd go 75% of 30 or 22.5 pounds. So you don't always get dumbbells that way. So a guy like you, you know, you probably go 25 because you're fairly beastly. But a
guy like you, you can curl 100 pounds 10 times. So you, for a medium weight, John, would go for a 75. I see. Okay, the math. I'm not a math guy, but I put it together.
Well, let me stay on that for just a minute because, you know, we can be more just random in these things and say, okay, the person who's like the beginner, the smaller, lightweight person, you know, male or female, they might use a 10 to 15 pound dumbbell, and that's mm-hmm. a great one. You know, then you get into like the John Boy medium area, 20 to 25 pounds, fine. And then, you know, not being overly flattering, but, you know, you can use a 30 or 35 pound set of dumbbells and get a lot done. You can. So that's kind of where I'd say. And with the kettlebell, you know, obviously a lot of the kettlebell movements are, you know, there's swings and some of them are kind of ballistic. And so you don't want to load quite as heavily with the kettlebell. So maybe the light one is 15, the medium's, you know, 25, and then you can go, you know, about 35 or so. With that. So that, you know, with dumbbells, it's a pair at that weight. With the kettlebell, it's a single.
Right. Well, that's a good place to at least conceptualize and a little quick math if you're thinking about putting that together. All right. So let's say I do put my fit kit together. What do those initial workouts look like? Maybe just paint me a picture of what I can do with a kit that is both easy to put together and also affordable, like you just described.
Well, very generally, and I'll make this quick, that type of a setup is quite good for doing circuit training. So you can put together basic lifts, you know, obviously, you know, presses and rows and squats and things like that, body weight movements interspersed in there. So you've got, you know, push-ups, you know, numbers of things, you know, walking lunges. We got elastic resistance. So now we can use that band to do a lot of shoulder protection work and some rowing and pulling motions by hooking it around either a doorknob or over the top of the door. They usually come with a little gadget that lets you do that. And then the rope is very handy because it does not stretch, or rope or strap, because then you can use it to stretch your body and do some great things there. And again, we've got all those floor exercises. So basically, you've got this kit where now you can do all the categories. You know, you can get some mobility and some resistance training. You can make it a conditioning flow, put in a high intensity interval session, or primarily work on stabilities to support goals that you have with walking or running or cycling outside. Also now, if you're using the bucket or the crate, which is really what I recommend, either one of those, You can invert it and use it for sitting on like a stool or a bench. You can step on it. Again, the crates are usually better for that than the box, but there's a lot of lot of cool things. Like I would take you, PK, and say, okay, if you got that crate, why don't you put your kettlebell into a goblet hold, put the back leg up, and bang out some Bulgarian splits. I mean, that's nice.
Oh, that's, I mean, the world of training is your oyster with this, what you described there.
And so high in zinc, oysters are good for you, folks. Have some
whoa,
once in a while.
Whoa, that's a pearl. That's extra. All right. So let's, my guess is we're going to consistently move up. So if that's the place to get started with the Fit Kit, someone's thinking, okay, I like the idea of that. What if I want to explore what the next step is? Where would you take them?
Well, this one doesn't have a cute name yet, but I would say behind door number two is, okay, there's a small space and a modest budget. So this can be somewhere between, you know, literally the size of the old phone booth, people, you know, can remember those things, to a space that might be, you know, maybe as much as 8 feet by 8 feet, something like that. So it's a small space that you can dedicate to like a little training center. And a few items that you have in it, they stay out all the time. And so there's an advantage there. No setup, no inertia, no motivation to go get what you can't see, even when it's the Fit Kit and it's quick. You see it, you do it. So that's a real good motivational component of this dedicated center.
Yes. Okay. So this could be a space on a wall, certainly a corner, or a piece of a smaller room, but essentially it's all the tools are out and available. Okay, so what does this look like in terms of the cadre of equipment that you're putting together in this little space?
So now we can have a few more items and mm-hmm. we can arrange them a bit more strategically. So we'll keep the mat and the rope and the tubing from the first example. And now we might even add a small box, like a wooden box, you know, exercise box that you can get, or a stool, maybe a few dumbbells or a couple kettlebells, not necessarily both, maybe a medicine ball, a jump rope, a foam roller, and how about a stability ball? You know, the large balls that you sit on, they're originally designed in Europe, so it's sometimes called Swiss ball, but you know, that stuff makes a nice setup, gives us a few more options. Everything can stay out in the corner or wherever. And it's, it kind of upregulates the options at this time.
Yeah. Okay. I like how it kind of builds. So like you could certainly start with your Fit Kit and then just add to it to create this door number two option. If you were advising me and I said, well, how much is this going to cost me? What sort of ballpark would you put that in?
Yeah, ballparking. We went from that Fit Kit, which can easily be done at $50 or below. Now this one's around $150, give or take. And mm-hmm. and again, a lot of that comes into like the weights, because you got to find the deals on the weights. There are often these big sales where, you know, they'll be, you know, under $1 a pound. Used weights are wonderful because they're usually fine. You know, there's no, you know, real, they don't really damage over time for the most part, unless they're being dropped a lot. And so used weights are great when you can find them. So we're around $150, you know, again, give or take a little bit. You can come under, you can go a little bit over. And another thing that you can even do in this mid-level station is you can make a functional training sandbag. And I have instructional video on the Lifetime Athlete YouTube channel. For just a few dollars, it shows you how to make a sandbag that then allows you to do a lot of loaded exercises very safely and effectively.
Nice. I like that. So you buy some things, maybe you do a little DIY, put it together, cost you under $150 or right around there, depending on the weights. I think that that makes sense. All right. Now, so what can I do with this now that I've expanded my options with some more equipment?
Well, now you can still do the mobility and the circuit work, but you can start to make your resistance relatively heavier. And there's a great benefit to, you know, safely getting under some heavy load occasionally and have a bit more variety in the routine. So, you know, again, with these extra tools, we can use enough different body positions and movements and implements that you really aren't, you know, you're not missing much with the Fit Kit if you've got a good creative, you know, coach or trainer. But now that you have this stuff, Wow. The only reason you get bored is because somebody lost creativity.
Right, right. I mean, even just expanding your weights a little bit opens your world up for adding that that greater resistance. Is there any sort of key, are there keys to the taking this approach that would give you a better chance at success that you're thinking about?
Absolutely. And this gets into some of the things that I learned over time. I'd say there's three main keys. That space has to be, you know, it has to have good temperature control. It has to be relatively clean and well lit. And these things make you want to be there. Unless someone is, you know, there are barbarians in the world, but, you know, a dark, cold, dirty dungeon, you after just a few times, you're going to start to lose the desire to go there. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to get you. So we want to make, again, I should review, a place that's good temperature control. I say it that way because in the summer, we don't want it to be roasting. And in the winter, we don't want it to be freezing. Clean, you know, not filthy, that you can't lay down on stuff and, you know, all that. And then well lit, you know, that brightness really helps to energize us. And, you know, that's, you know, part of our circadian biology. So all those things, clean, well lit, and temperature controlled, we need it. And then, of course, the fourth thing, which is optional depending on the personality, like PK, you know, total personality. Well, tunes help. And so, you know, these days you can get a little cheapy Bluetooth speaker for honestly $15 that makes enough volume off your smartphone that you can rock out while you're working out.
Yeah, buddy. I mean, I think that there may be a little bit of antiquated romance. You know, we're not Clubber Lang hanging from ropes, training in the basement, trying to take Rocky down. But I think that's really good. I think the one for me, if I've experienced anything, it is that clean. There is something about when you're going to work and going to train and you're contributing, you want it to be clean. That's almost common sense. But I assume all those three keys apply to all the different situations, but just specifically here, since you're carving out a smaller space in like a bigger room.
Yeah, exactly. So back at that fit kit, you're probably going to drag it out into, you know, your bedroom or your living room. And sure, generally those things are already addressed, that it's, you know, it's a place that you want to be or have to be. It's clean, it's well lit. But then suddenly now when you're dedicating a space, there are people who say, well, you know, I got a shed out in the back and, you know, it's 20 below in the winter and I got to wear really heavy mittens because I get, you know, my hands freeze to the dumbbells when I touch them. And there's no electricity in there, so I only got to work out. And, you know, you see how that can start to be create these obstacles. Well,
right.
You know, so.
And you're saying it's not going to happen. I'm going to shoot you straight. You're just not going out there. So, well, John, tell me if, all right, I wet my whistle on the fit kit. I saw the little corner of the room, option number two. But I want to examine the options for my next step, more of an investment and more of a, I guess, commitment. Where do you take me there?
Well, this is where I'm back on that common sense thing again, because curtain number three, you know, it represents a generous but not unlimited budget. And maybe a slightly greater dedicated space, like a spare room or a part of a garage or basement.
Yes. Okay. And this, you know, I think this is an option where maybe you say, at least this is where my mind probably would have gone, all right, I want to train at home. I need one of these. With the first two options, you've illustrated that you don't. But let's say in this particular case, I do have a spare room. I really want to make a run at this. How would I do it?
Yeah. So I really try to work hard to, you know, help a person figure out, well, what do we need to put in there? You know, what's going to work and not be extravagant. And, you know, so we're always looking at that, but this dedicated area, you know, it builds on the content of the previous two scenarios. And maybe now we do have, oh, I don't know, let's say 100 to 300 square feet of space, give or take and flex.
Sure.
Let's put the budget at between $500 and $1,000.
Okay. So, I mean, that's significant, but not, not several thousand. I mean, doable, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, generally that's a membership with a few classes at a good gym.
Sure.
For 1 year, you know, so now, you know, this is a one-time investment. You could go for many years, but you can even upgrade that to a per person per year budget if you want. And you can even extend it for a couple of years, you know, acquiring things as you go along. That is possible. If we do it right and we've got the motivation and we've got the good programming, you'll still come out on top because you'll get years and years of high efficiency fitness enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, buddy. Okay. So how do we do this?
Well, as far as big chunks of equipment, I have a rule. It's not hard and fast, but it's a suggestion. Let's call it that. You get to pick two pieces of equipment to add in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For example.
Yep. So, you know, two is better than one, but you can't pick five. So this is where the choice must match the training needs and the likes of a person called you. And otherwise, again, it just gathers dust. It gets used to hang the clothes on and eventually winds up on sale. It's a cycle that I see so much if people don't do these things that we are speaking of. So first off, I'll give you some options. If you're the kind of person that just loves indoor cardio, then that might not be me. I don't really care for it that much. But again, depending on what one sport is and what the weather is, you know, it can be an option. So if you're an indoor cardio lover, aerobic exercise, get the treadmill or the elliptical or the spin bike or even the trainer for your road bike, and throw in a doorway pull-up bar. So there's your two pieces of equipment that you added on to, you know, the previous two levels.
Absolutely. And I would say, here's a question I have. What if you're starting with a fitness goal and you say, okay, I'm going to need to, my program's going to reflect doing some indoor cardio. Then maybe I don't necessarily love it, you would say choose the piece of equipment that you think you'll use the most? Or what would you advise? You know, I'm a person that doesn't love indoor cardio either, but let's say this winter I wanted to implement that. What sort of mentality should I take? What sort of guidance would you give?
Yeah, probably go back to, we have to say, well, how much do you love this, you know, steady state aerobic exercise? Or you can do some intervals with it too, of course.
Sure.
How much do you need to do it throughout the year? How much are you going to be inclined to do it indoors versus outdoors? And so I can give some really good examples of this, I think. And so I have a couple of people that, you know, they're in the Northwest here, or, you know, at least the Northern Rockies. Winter's cold, but cold's not really that big of a deal for runners, but ice is a big deal because sometimes you know, you can slip and get injured no matter how agile and, you know, mobile you are. There's that. And then also a lot of times as the snow and ice builds up on the road, there's no place to run, things get narrow, they get unsafe. You know, and we even have, you know, obviously the short days in the wintertime, so the darkness. So for those people, I say, you know what? Yeah, you're gonna use that treadmill. You're gonna love it. You're gonna be able to get some nice workouts in, and it's gonna be safe. Then on the other hand, I've got a few people down in the Southwest in the summer. It's just so tough for the cyclists. You know, especially in, you know, the urban areas, you know, like Albuquerque, Phoenix, Tucson, you know, it's hot. That's one thing. And it's nice to be able to ride a bike indoors when it's a little cooler. But the other thing that's is true is then we've got a lot of traffic. And, you know, the thing with the traffic is, yeah, there can be safety issues just because of traffic alone. But in that real hot weather, all that road dust and carbon monoxide and stuff, it just kind of, you know, it's the brown cloud kind of thing. And so I don't necessarily want my athletes out there breathing that all the time. Say, hey, let's break it up. Let's put you in a conditioned indoor air, and that's going to be a win.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So what if, like, take me through, I'm assuming there's some other options if you have different goals or if you want to get different things. Keep me going on this two pieces of equipment in this dedicated space.
Yep. So the next one, say, okay, what if you just crave doing interval training and you love, you know, that type of, you know, repeat training where, you know, you go hard at something, you have a little break, whether that's, you know, the same time or it's an expanding time, which I'm in favor of a lot of times. It's hard to beat either, you know, the classic Schwinn Airdyne or the assault bike, the newer assault bike, which is the arms and legs going. It's got the big fan. Those are great. Or a Concept 2 rower, or even a knockoff. Although I think Concept 2's quality is so high for just a few more dollars, no one's ever sorry when they get a Concept 2 rower. So that I would say, yeah, assault bike or rower. And now you've got, you know, not both, but one of those tools that works best for you. And, you know, you can get those depending on what models you buy. Again, in this budget, so, you know, it can be, you know, some of those bikes are, you know, $500 on sale, and then the rower's a couple more hundred, but that leaves you enough money to throw in a power tower for tons more body weight options. So power tower is that station, you know, where you've got the pull-ups, the rows, dips, leg lifts, and you can rearrange your body on it and do a number of different things. Doesn't take up much space, small footprint, keeps you working vertically for the most part. Wonderful.
I love that. So in this illustration, you've used just four pieces of equipment, you know, in pairs, and you have a completely different space and capability. What are some other examples of stacking up pairs of equipment? No more than two.
Yep. And again, think about it. What we're doing is we're being true to, well, science and common sense, but we're like, when we talk about animal fit, you know, certain beasts have these certain bodies that are good at certain things. And they also generally over time, you know, have more success and enjoyment with the things that fit their body the best. And so this is all very important for creating a sustainable program in something that someone both benefits from and enjoys. So now if resistance training is your jam, well, now we need a power cage, a bench, and a barbell set. And we can hit the budget if you shop around. Again, it's doable because I've been doing this for decades. I can swear to that. You can also skip the cage and get a dumbbell set with a rack or even one of those selectorized systems, you know, dumbbells that it's one handle that has all these different weight plates. It depends on your preference, but you can do it and you can create, again, something pretty big. So that would be where we're either saying, you know, we're getting the cage and the barbell set, and usually the bench comes with the cage, or you're getting, say, a bench and a dumbbell set. So, you know, again, weights and apparatus.
Yeah, and I think that it's not just one size fits all is what you're describing. I'm sure the permutations are not endless, but just many as you're having these conversations with your clients. It just, the three different scenarios you've described are so vastly different, but they still are based on just two pieces of equipment to get what you need.
Yeah, this is where I think, you know, you look at, say, your local municipality, they hire a consultant who specializes in like traffic flow patterns to analyze things and say, okay, we're going to change the timing of these lights. We'll put a roundabout here and there. It's actually worth the investment over time. So the same thing in a very, you know, minimal way, you know, like hiring a consultant or someone like me to say, okay, look, let's really dig into who you are, how awesome you are. And what do you really like? What do you not like? What's your injury history? What are your training goals? So we've got this. Then we say, oh, okay, well, here's a couple things. And you're like, well, I kind of like all five of those. And you're like, well, okay, that's good. But what if we said, let's put them in order and let's find the two that you like the most. And that third one, there's probably a way we can modify what you'll end up getting to be able to do that as well. Man, that's where you start to really match up things and create these wins.
Absolutely. And it sounds like it can be progressive too. There's a place to get started. If you do have five that are on your list that you like, well, start with two and start with the training programming that lines up with that. And then potentially add into that as you go. It doesn't have to be all at one time.
Yeah. So workout options become practically unlimited with these types of gyms. And really the only exception would be super specialized machines or exceptionally heavy weights that, you know, sometimes a person needs, but for the most part, you'll never miss the gym. And you, one more thing you made me think of, I don't see this out there a lot, but maybe I need to start a community or a group that's a fitness equipment swap. where we just trade out. And you're just, okay, I got this. I don't like it so much, but you got one of those things I want to try. Ooh, there's a thought.
I think so. I think that would be a, well, it actually, you know, I think it happens in real life. You know, just in my experience, my folks were getting rid of a spin bike. And so they gave it to me. And then my neighbor actually, unfortunately, had a knee injury. And I had a spin bike in my setup that I loaned to them so he could do a little spinning in his garage. And that's just kind of, that's a natural progression. I like that idea. All right, John, as always, what I want you to do is take these examples and put it into real world terms. Do you have some setups from some actual folks that you can detail for us about how Home Gym has been set up and people have had success with it?
Yep. And I've gotten permission to use first names and I will. So these are all real clients and their setups and even a little bit of an idea of what they do for workouts. So
nice.
So representing that FitKit model, Tina wanted to, you know, active person, did some walking, had a regular yoga practice that she participated in, but she wanted to add some bone loading, muscle strengthening and intensity to her yoga routine. So we set up a fit kit using a crate and a few of those items we talked about. And I gave her a strength and plyo circuit to add to her regular practice. So she bought the crate, a 15 pound kettlebell, a section of medium tubing with handles. She already had the mat and the strap from her yoga setup. And I had her doing different things like swings and presses, squats, get ups, mixing that in with some push ups, step ups onto that box, and even drops off the crate, you know, sticking the landings, you know, working on that safely. That jumping and landing is so critical for maintenance of tendon health and function in the lifespan. And then also multi directional rows and diagonal moves with that elastic tubing. And she had a blast. She got what she needed out of it, didn't spend much money, and, you know, really feels like she's enjoying it and getting more fit.
I love that. I love that way that you set it up to bone loading in terms of, you know, she had a practice that she was already, you know, doing, you know, with success. And, you know, you helped her identify that adding the bone loading and the resistance training, it was low hanging fruit. I love that. Okay. So do you have an example from the curtain number two?
Yeah, so kind of that mid-level program in this model. A couple of folks, real briefly, Kurt and Jane have a bike and a ski erg. And, you know, for anybody who doesn't know what ski erg is, you know, it's kind of like an upright tower. It's got the flywheel on it and the handles. You can crank it down. You know, it's used a lot in Nordic ski conditioning, but also it's popular in CrossFit. So they also have a dumbbell set and a bench. And a couple of those really inexpensive interlock foam mats, they stuck it in the corner of the garage, but, you know, they keep their garage pretty clean and it's heated. So, okay, they're, you know, they're checking that off. It's well lit as well. Mm-hmm. He's training for the Birkebeiner, you know, in Norway, the original long distance cross-country ski race. He's going to go make a trip to Europe this winter and do it. It's kind of a bucket list item for him. So he's in there doing that. And when he's not outside skiing, he's working on specific strength and mobility. Jane likes to get her cardio on the bike. And of course, in the wintertime in this climate, it's not very conducive on the ice and the darkness. So she's doing it. They're winning. Now you got Beth and Dan. So they took part of a spare room and they installed kind of almost like that one model we were discussing. They put a rower and a power tower and a few goodies in there. And they kind of do a strength and hit circuit regularly. And a slightly different shape was taken by Doug and Sandy, who they've got a really cool room upstairs. That's their TV room. And Doug's a big baseball fan, football fan. So he's in there a lot. So they decided, let's create a fitness option. At the same time, you know, sometimes when you're watching TV, not all the time, but there's an elliptical and some weights and a bench and a stability ball working great for them.
I love that because in each of those scenarios, you just built on where they were already built on the foundation that they had with their fitness and their lifestyle and even the setup of their living situation. Love that. Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the big bad daddy.
Yeah. So like, you know, obviously meet yourself where you are.
Sure.
So you know, another clients, Paul and Jill, well, they went all in. And they converted a room in their basement into literally it's a center of excellence. They've got a power cage, a bar and a bench, plyometrics boxes, med balls, mats, a TRX, and a couple of pieces of aerobic equipment. Well, how they, you know, I guess how they justified going to the higher end of that model is because their whole family uses it. So, you know, the husband, the wife, the daughter all have, you know, different things that they work on for, you know, both health and fitness and also peak performance training goals. And so they find that they can train at different times a day and it adapts to their schedules, you know, travel demands, you know, that's without working around the crowds or potentially the time constraints that do exist sometimes at the gym. So again, these are highly motivated, dedicated people using periodized training systems, but we really put a lot of effort into getting the stuff that they needed and wanted, and gosh, they're 10Xing it.
Gotcha. But even in this last scenario, you didn't get everything, even though they have a dedicated room, the things that you described there, you know, you have the power cage, the bench, the bar. So you really went for that resistance training as the base and then added that aerobic equipment on top of it. Cause you're actually, you know, with a family of three, you needed a little bit more variety to match up those two pieces of equipment for each person.
Yes. And I should also say that we did this over a 4-year process. So,
yes.
You know, they, you know, kind of started out at really very close to what that middle level would have been. And then, gosh, started to have some success and said, okay, let's get some more items. And so that's kind of how we went through that process. There are people that, you know, we can do all of it all at once. And that's, it takes a bit of thought, but the easier way is to just float along like this.
Yeah. Well, and it's really not about the room. It's about the training that is supported by the room. So, I mean, it's not, you know, the project of, I'm sure, setting up a gym can be misconstrued as being about the actual project of setting up the room as opposed to the training. So, interesting. Okay. So let's say that someone is listening and they're like, all right, John, one of these really hit home with me. Are there any additional resources that you can either recommend to them or a way to connect with you if they want to get started on this journey?
Sure. Certainly one option, and I'm not saying this to be humorous, but you could re-listen to this podcast and, you know, just kind of, you know, hit a few of the suggestions, you know, that is an option. But also later this week, probably by the time the podcast airs, the video will air, and there's going to be an instructional video on this very thing on the Lifetime Athlete YouTube channel. So you can watch that video. Another great option is to check out the shop page on the lifetimeathlete.com. So menu at the top says shop and you click on it. And that's going through several iterations, but right now when it comes down, it's a drop-down menu item. And there's one item on it, which is health and fitness products. And so that takes you directly to the Lifetime Athlete's Amazon shopping page. So if you're an Amazon shopper, great. Maybe you'd consider signing up if you're not. And if not, you'll still get some ideas. But that stuff is organized on the shopping list. So you can go through and you can see a lot of the items that we talked about for kind of an entry level, intermediate, and advanced. And then there's also some sections in there that have, like, say, measurement and self-quantification devices, sleep and recovery aids, even some gadgets for the kitchen. It's all these are all things that the, you know, the clients use, and we vet the items, and the list is always being updated. But a great resource.
Yeah, and again, you know, this is after you've gone through your thinking of what exactly you're inclined to go with in terms of the options, and then you say, okay, now it's about exploring. You know, what to purchase the products. Okay. I like that.
So you could take that to a local level as well. You know, you can look around for sales, and interestingly enough, now's the time, you know, over the next couple of weeks, you're going to see these sort of, you know, health and fitness and New Year's resolution based, you know, marketing campaigns. And so wherever you shop, that's an option. So, Costco or, you know, local Costco warehouse, this is sort of a shameless plug because they do have a really good campaign for fitness products first week of January. Sometimes even if you, late December, you'll start to see these things. Well, I just wrote an article for the Costco Connection magazine that's coming out probably in a couple days that kind of looks at that movement model that we've discussed here. You know, need to get 10 hours of movement per week for health. And so that's there. Costco is a great source for that. So I'll give them a plug. Walmart, Dick's Sporting Goods, you name the big chains, you know, they all tend to participate in this drive. And so that's a great place to get sale prices on new items.
Yeah. And especially if you have a plan for how you what you specifically need, you know, you're not going in and deciding by looking at the products, you're deciding on your program and then going in to shop for the products based on what you need. That FitKit's a good example where, you know, you've got a pretty tight little list there and you might be able to even get it in a more affordable fashion. Any other considerations?
Well, you can always check Craigslist or, you know, some of the other distribution methods that are available. Look in the newspapers or even check with friends who either want to unload something that they don't use, like we mentioned before, or anytime someone's moving, you know, sometimes they have to ballast equipment. One thing I'd say about all of that is it seems to be summer, you know, spring and summer is when that's happening more than in the middle of winter. But again, never hurts to check.
Absolutely. Well, and then that's the equipment. What if they want some guidance in working through the methodology?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, this kind of is the gold standard. You know, they can work with me in a coaching capacity. So, you know, as part of my service, you know, let's say they get a coaching package or a training program, or even just want to do a consult, we can use some of that time to go through this, you know, assessment and selection process. And then, of course, as you indicated, design the program that uses those things to best fit the person and goals.
Hmm. John, I don't think that I had really seen the big picture when we got started today, or when I saw the notes come through about the complexities and how to set this up for success. Now, clearly it's, you know, easy to set, just get a room with some equipment in it, but a room that you'll actually use to help further your peak performance goals, that is tricky. And thank you for walking us through that today.
My pleasure. Thanks for being with me, PK. And hey, audience, thanks guys for joining us today. And we hope you're enjoying your holiday time. If the show is speaking to your inner athlete, leave us a rating and review. And we thank you in advance. We'll be back soon with more peak performance wisdom. Until next time, Jay-Z and PK signing out, and you are magnificent.
Adios, everyone.
Bye-bye.